Our reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, found in our Pew Bibles on 1835. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. This is the word of the Lord.
When we get to Colossians 4 and verse 7, the body of the letter to the saints at Colossae is done. Paul's done writing what we would say is the body or the main part of the letter. We come to the closing verses. In this letter to the Colossians, Paul has proclaimed Christ as the supreme treasure of the universe. In him are contained all things that really matter for life. He is infinitely supreme, absolutely sufficient. Paul has taught in this letter that believers have all of Christ. Every believer is in Christ, united to Christ. In fact, every believer has been crucified with Christ, yet at the same time alive with Christ's life in them. In Christ, all our sins have been judicially forgiven. We are new in Christ, and we are being renewed in his image. As a believer, I can say, my life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul then, after he's magnified our Lord Jesus Christ in this letter, instructs us that our wonderful newness in Christ, this new life we have in Christ, we're new creatures in Christ, and it needs to show up in the real world. In other words, because of who we are in Christ, because of what Christ has done, because we're risen with Christ, we need to be about the business of putting to death sin and putting on Christ-like virtue. In fact, Christ needs to be Lord of all things, every aspect of our lives, everything we do, everything we say. And so now Paul gets to what he normally gets to at the end of his letters. He gives out greetings, he sends greetings, and as is normal for Paul, he moves quickly through a number of people, including some encouraging words as well. In this closing, from verse 7 to the end of the letter to verse 18, he mentions 11 people by name. And he begins with two brothers in Christ named Tychicus and Onesimus. When you look at the brothers, starting in verse number 10, he starts to name some other brothers. Paul is speaking about laborers who are with him, who have been with him. But these two brothers, in verse 7, Tychicus, and in verse number 9, Onesimus, are brothers who labored with him, but now are with the Colossians. In other words, this letter, as it's being read in the Church of Colossae, when it's being read in the Church of Colossae, these two men will be there with the church, Tychicus and Onesimus. In fact, it is likely that Tychicus, that Paul mentions here in verse number 7, is the one who's reading it to the Colossian church. when they hear it for the first time. These are, in all probability, the two men who brought the letter to the church, sent by Paul to this church. So when the NIV says in verse number 8, "I am sending," we understand by the time the church gets this letter, these men have been sent. They've arrived. They're there. And now we get to find out a little bit, as Paul explains to them why they're there, we get to find out a little bit about these men who serve as messengers for the apostle Paul, Tychicus and Onesimus. And so the first thing we want to look at in verse number 7, we want to see a trustworthy messenger, Tychicus. As I've already said, it's a really good assumption that they carried the letter to the Colossians to the church. Most people are pretty much uniformly agreed upon that fact. And it would also seem like they were responsible to read it and even to explain it, if necessary, to the church. And we'll speak a little bit about that in a moment. We might also suppose, and we'd be well to suppose that they carried at the same time a letter to Philemon, who was a man in the church at Colossae. They also probably carried the letter Paul mentions in verse 16. If you look in verse number 16, Paul talks about reading this letter to the church of the Laodiceans, and that you read the letter from Laodicea. They probably delivered that one to the church at Laodicea, a letter which in God's providence did not survive. They were busy delivering letters because they probably also dropped off the letter to Ephesus on the way to Colossae. Now, it seems clear Tychicus was the one primarily entrusted with this responsibility. He's commissioned in the same way when you read the Ephesian epistle toward the end of it. Paul writes, "So that you may also know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything." He talks about, and then he goes on in Ephesus, in the Ephesians letter, to say, Tychicus will encourage your hearts and so on, just like he says here in Colossians. So Tychicus, it seems clear, is the one of primary responsibility. This is not the only place we hear of Tychicus. I just mentioned the Ephesians letter. But first we see Tychicus in Acts 20 in verse number 4. He's a convert from Asia, possibly from Ephesus. And in Acts 20, he's with Paul on Paul's third missionary journey. He probably accompanied Paul along with many others to Jerusalem in order to deliver an offering to the Jerusalem church. Tychicus is mentioned in Titus 3:12, where Paul says he's considering sending Tychicus to Crete to relieve Titus so Titus can visit Paul. There's another mention of him in 2 Timothy 4:12, where apparently he sends Tychicus to Ephesus to enable Timothy to visit Paul. This man, Tychicus, has an active ministry helping the Apostle Paul. And Paul says here that one of his roles would be to tell the Colossians all about Paul's activity. Verse number 7, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. This is one of Paul's trustworthy servants. And Paul wants to get that across to the Colossians very clearly. He wants to emphasize this is a trustworthy man. And so he now describes him in three very wonderful ways, establishing the fact that this man is to be respected as a gospel minister, and he's acting under Paul's apostolic authority. So let's look at the descriptions here. He's described, first of all, as someone united in Christ. It says, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother. Beloved brother. The NIV says, dear brother. These are not idle, insignificant flatteries. Brother, of course, refers to the fact that Tychicus is in Christ. Tychicus is part of God's household of faith. All those who are in union with Christ are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Paul expresses that he is a beloved brother, a term of endearment. Every genuine saint is beloved of God. Paul says in chapter 3, verse number 12, we're God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And we must love our brothers and sisters in Christ with a special family love. We're God's people. We're God's people by His grace. We'll spend eternity together. We will worship the living and true God together forever. We're united in Christ. We have a bond as God's covenant people stronger than even our biological bonds. Remember what Jesus said when he was teaching one time and someone came and told him that his mother and brothers were waiting outside to speak with him? Remember what he said? He said, Matthew 12, 48 through 50, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he stretched out his hands, the Bible says, toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And Jesus was basically saying the relationship of those united in Christ, those who are members of God's kingdom, have stronger bonds than even with our natural family members. United in Christ. And Paul is saying that's the bond he has with Tychicus. He's my beloved brother, united in Christ. Secondly, he says, faithful in service. Look what it says in verse 7. Beloved brother, and he's a beloved brother, and he's a faithful minister, a faithful servant, the New American Standard says. This is a very affirming, pleasing description. Being faithful is God's great calling to us. No matter what we are called to do, we're called to be faithful. The word servant here is a word that can be used as a deacon, but Paul's not using it that way. He's using it for just service, ministry. Paul was pointing to Tychicus's ministry that he has alongside of Paul and saying, this man is trustworthy. This man is faithful to do what God asks him to do. Not only is Tychicus faithful to Paul, Tychicus is faithful to Christ. And he doesn't just serve Paul, he serves the churches that he ministers in. Faithful. He's a faithful minister. By the way, faithful also modifies fellow servant, the next part of the verse, as well. But please understand that this is what God desires of all his children. God desires us to be humbly about living for his glory by his grace in whatever we do faithfully. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Christ is to be Lord over everything. We're to be faithful to the calling of the Lordship of Christ. God doesn't call you to be more talented than you are. God doesn't call you to be more gifted than you are. But what God calls you to is to be faithful to whatever life he's assigned you to. To be faithful to him, seek his kingdom, glorify his name. Paul says, this is a faithful brother. This is a beloved brother, faithful in service. By the way, just in this particular assignment that Tychicus has, just going from Rome, where Paul wrote the letter in his imprisonment, to Colossae was a pretty good trek. There were long stretches in this journey that Tychicus and Onesimus would have to travel on foot. I mean, we're talking about over 100 miles of walking. Plus, they had to cross two seas, the Adriatic and the Aegean Sea. On their way, they probably stopped at Ephesus and delivered that letter. At some point, they would have to go to Laodicea and deliver that letter. This is a time-consuming, perilous, exhausting, important mission that Tychicus is on for Paul. Praise the Lord, he's a faithful brother. Those letters all got to their destinations. And we understand, of course, we're faithful because God is our faithful God. God is perfectly faithful to his redemptive plan and purposes. Faithful is he who called us, who also will do it. But God desires us by his grace to be faithful. Then the third description of Tychicus. He's a beloved brother, a faithful minister. And the third description, and Paul is confirming the fact that they're together for the kingdom of God. He says he's a fellow servant in the Lord. Fellow bond servant is really the word. It's one Greek word. You could translate it fellow slave. Paul is saying, hey, me and Tychicus, we're fellow slaves of Christ. Fellow slaves in the Lord. Fellow slaves for Christ's kingdom. Paul recognizes that's who they are. Just simply fellow servants of Jesus Christ. Working together for the kingdom, for Christ's kingdom, for Christ's glory. They work together in Christ. By his power, by his grace, for his glory, they remember who they are and who the Lord is. I love the way Paul puts this when he is writing to the Corinthians and addressing their problem of being personality driven, following certain leaders over other leaders. He says this in 1 Corinthians 3, 4 through 7. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? In other words, you're being carnal, you're being natural, you're not behaving like regenerate believers. Paul says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And then Paul says in verse number 7, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. So we're nothing. But only God who gives the growth. Paul is saying, we're just servants. He's saying, Tychicus is a beloved brother. Tychicus is a faithful minister. But we're just fellow bond slaves to Christ. We must understand our role in God's economy. So we don't become filled with pride or discouraged. We're just unworthy servants, and we serve a glorious and gracious master. We're to serve together, desiring the furtherance of the gospel, the glory of God, together for the kingdom. It's clear here, Paul appreciates this fellow bond slave, Tychicus. Paul understands the blessedness it is to work alongside other people for the furtherance of the gospel. It is a blessing indeed. So the first thing we see in his greetings here about these two faithful brothers is Tychicus is a trustworthy messenger. The Colossian people this guy, we can trust him and respect him because he's a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord. And the second thing we see is a significant mission. Verse number 8. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. So now Paul is kind of speaking about the mission, and he gives us three important aspects of this mission in this verse. The first thing is, Tychicus didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I think I'll go to Colossae. Nice trip, cross a couple of seas, do some visiting, do some sightseeing along the way. You see what it says in verse 8? Paul says, I sent him. I sent him for this purpose. I have a purpose in this mission. It's an important mission. He's got the letter. He's going to read the letter. He's going to tell you how we are. And he's going to encourage your heart. When Paul says, I sent him, Paul is setting up Tychicus as his official representative. Not just anybody who decides to do this. He's the official letter carrier. He's the official messenger. He's the official representative of Paul. So number one, he's sent by Paul. Number two, as Paul's official messenger, you know, he can basically say, any questions? You guys have any questions about Paul? I can tell you about Paul, what he's doing, what's going on. I can let you know how Paul is. Now, there's a textual variant here in the Greek. So some texts read something like, Tychicus is sent that you may know our circumstances, while other manuscripts say that you may that he came to know your circumstances, the Colossians. And I'm sure it's both ways. He's finding out stuff about what's going on in Colossae, and he's also going to tell them what is going on back in Rome with Paul. But the textual scholars favor the reading that says he's come to tell Paul's circumstances, that you may know what's going on with Paul. So we know that Paul is with others, so it's not just about Paul, it's the others. Paul says that you may know how we are doing. And Paul is in bonds in Rome. He's chained to a Roman soldier. He's in some kind of imprisonment. So what can Tychicus report? How much can you do in prison, you know? What can you get done? What kind of fruitful ministry can you have in prison? Well, we know Paul had fruitful ministry in prison because we have the letter that Paul wrote in prison to the Philippians. And Paul says to the Philippians, I want you to know, brothers, I'm in a miserable state being in prison. I'm depressed, lonely, the food is terrible, people need to come and see me. Paul just has this glorious pity party when he writes to the Philippians. No. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Can you imagine that? Paul is saying, and this is what Tychicus can report to the Colossians. Say, how's it going in Rome? Oh, the gospel's advancing. Oh, I thought Paul was chained to a Roman soldier. Yeah. Listen to what he says to Philippians. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard. Massive amount of soldiers involved in this imperial guard. And to all the rest, that my imprisonment is for Christ. He's saying these guys are getting the gospel. Perhaps there's some people in Colossae who heard of Paul's arrest, just like I think there were in Philippi, which is why Paul put that in. Maybe kind of getting a little critical. Why'd he go and get himself arrested? Maybe somebody's saying, oh, no, this is going to stop the progress of the gospel. This is going to hinder the gospel from advancing. Or maybe some people are just concerned about how Paul is doing. But you know what Paul says to the Colossians? I mean, to the Philippians in this letter? He says he's rejoicing. He's got a captive audience in the imperial guard, chained to a soldier. How you doing, buddy? You going to be with me a while? Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you about Jesus. Paul's boldness, he says in the Philippian letter, is inspiring other brothers in Christ to go out and preach the gospel. I love what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:9. And he's, by the way, he's in that case, he's in his second imprisonment, his final imprisonment, we think, where he's executed. But listen to what he writes in 2 Timothy 2:9. For which I am suffering, the gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains, as a criminal. And then you know what he says? But the word of God is not bound. But the word of God is not bound. So Tychicus is here in Colossae, and he's going to say, this is what's going on. This is how Paul and all these other people, Epaphras that you know, and Luke and Aristarchus, this is how they're doing. This is what's going on in Rome. So in verse 8, number 1, he says that Tychicus is sent by Paul. Number 2, he's going to give them the report of how Paul is. And then number 3, he's also there to encourage these believers. This is important. He's not just a reporter of things. He's there to minister. You see it in verse 8? And I sent him that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Encourage your hearts. Now, presumably, his report about Paul will encourage them. But Paul is likely referring to reading the letter. He's going to read this letter. And if what Paul says about Christ in this letter doesn't encourage your hearts as a Christian, I don't know what would. And then he's going to explain, if necessary, if there's questions. He's sent to encourage the church. See, Paul can't go to Colossae, but Tychicus can. And he's there to minister to them, to teach them, to encourage them. And I can't imagine when he came, those blessed days that followed for this church, as they hear a word from God through the Apostle Paul, through his messenger, Tychicus. So we see a trustworthy messenger, a significant mission. And then number 3, we see a transformed companion, verse number 9. And with him, I sent Tychicus, but with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that's taken place here. So now we're introduced to Onesimus. And by the way, the reading of the text in the Greek, it's connected to, I have sent Tychicus to you, and with him Onesimus, kind of making it clear that Onesimus is not an equal co-laborer with Tychicus at this point. There are different circumstances and situations. Nonetheless, Paul describes Onesimus as our faithful and beloved brother. And he also points out something. Who is one of you? By the way, that means he's from Colossae. He's one of you. Now, we know more about Onesimus from Paul's letter to Philemon. Philemon was also a member of the Colossian church. And Onesimus, it turns out, you go to Philemon, you find out, he was Philemon's slave, bondservant. And apparently, he ran away. And apparently, he ran away because he stole from Philemon. Onesimus was not a nice person. Stole from Philemon. The indication there is kind of he was a useless servant. Ran away. But somehow or other, we're not given any details as how he came in contact with Paul, but he winds up in Rome, comes in contact with Paul in Rome. And in Paul's letter to Philemon, Paul calls Onesimus my child, meaning that Onesimus came to Christ as a runaway slave in Rome. Paul personally led Onesimus to Christ, and now Paul's sending him back to Colossae, back to Philemon. And in the letter to Philemon, Paul appeals to Philemon to treat Onesimus not as a slave, but as a beloved brother in Christ. Just flip a few books ahead to Philemon. After Titus and before Hebrews, I just want to read it to you, this part of it. Philemon, verses 10 through 18. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. All of this points to the fact that Paul has now come to trust this brother. He's had a radical conversion. And notice what it says in verse number 9 back in Colossians. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful brother, who is one of you, they will tell you everything that has taken place here. They. Not, don't trust him yet. But he's going to join with Tychicus in encouraging you and telling you everything that's going on. Paul understands Onesimus is a new creature in Christ, and he can be a help to Tychicus on this mission. Please understand, God saves sinners. He saved a Jewish Pharisaical persecutor of Christians in Saul of Tarsus. And he saved this Gentile Asian man, most likely a pagan idolater named Tychicus. And he saved a runaway slave named Onesimus. God saves, God forgives, and God makes us new and begins to transform us from the inside out. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who's one of you, a transformed companion. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God is faithful. Because he's faithful, we can be faithful. He's in the transformation business. Can you imagine when the Colossians heard what Paul wrote when he said he's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son? And although we make small steps of progress, by his grace, we're not the same people we were before the gospel, before our conversion. In the 1950s, there was a man named Mickey Cohen. And Mickey Cohen was a notorious gangster. One time, Mickey Cohen decided to go to some evangelistic meeting and hear what was going on. And he seemed to have a little bit of a response to that. And so believers followed up on him and visited him and shared the gospel with him. And finally, Mickey Cohen made a profession of faith. But as time passed, there was no change in his lifestyle. Finally, after a long time had passed, some believers confronted him. And he said something like this. Remember, he was a notorious gangster. He said, "No one told me I would have to give up my work or my friends." He said, "There's Christian football players. There's Christian cowboys. There's Christian politicians. Why not a Christian gangster?" The gospel doesn't work that way. 1 John 5:19 says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness." Certainly, we must recognize it doesn't take rocket science to understand the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world is under the power of the evil one. And we, by God's grace, have been set aside, brought into his kingdom. He's doing a transforming work. God takes a Saul of Tarsus and a Tychicus and an Onesimus just as they are, but he doesn't leave them there. He brings them into his kingdom and transforms them by grace so that they can say, "Christ is my life." May we be those who are growing as those who have been united in Christ, beloved brothers and sisters, faithful in service, together desiring the furtherance of the gospel for the glory of God. And let me just say this, if you're here and you're an unbeliever, Christ called you to come to him and be saved from your sin, to be saved from its power, to be saved from its penalty, which is hell, and to be brought into his kingdom of joy and peace in God. If you're here and you're an unbeliever, Christ desires that you would turn from your trusting in your works and trusting in your own goodness, which isn't there and won't work. Trust in Christ and his work on the cross. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how wonderful it is to be loved by you, to be set apart as holy, to be indwelt by your Spirit, to have you do a transforming work. And we thank you for this grace. We know where we still fall short of your glory, but we pray you'd grow us. We pray you'd help us to recognize the bond we have together in Christ. May it be said of us that we are faithful servants. Bless us, we pray. Thank you for Christ. Thank you that we can say our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Continue to do this work of grace in our hearts, Lord, we pray. Help us to realize, Lord, those words in 1 John aren't light words, that the whole world lies in wickedness and the power of the evil one. Help us be light, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.